little update on a project that we became involved in that was led by our friends at Cornell on the potential value-added organic small grain production. And it was a team effort between Cornell, Penn State, and North Dakota State. And we accomplished a lot in the whole project, and we were sort of a satellite location, but I thought we accomplished a lot in Pennsylvania that I wanted to share some of our accomplishments with you today. Basically, we did I want to back up there. My collaborator on this is Elizabeth Dick, and she's with the Organic Growers Research and Information Sharing Network. Elizabeth lives in New York, but did a lot of work with me in Pennsylvania. And I focused a lot on research and did some things on variety evaluation, some management studies, and some on-farm trials with Elizabeth. And together we worked on a number of outreach efforts on field days, videos, did some farm engagement and market development stuff. So it was kind of a broad range of activities we did over a four-year period. And we worked on several different crops. We used heritage grains in winter wheat and spring wheat. And then we also looked at some ancient grains of spelt, emmer, and einkorn. I'm sort of a newcomer to the organic world, so this was a lot of new stuff for me. And also, I never worked too much with the ancient grains, so that was all an exciting opportunity as well. I did my standard organic germplasm evaluation in conjunction with a couple sites in New York, and my results over the 4 years was that winter lines were pretty successful, and we were able to come close to conventional yields. Spring production was a little more tricky, and we fought weeds for in several years. We were able to identify some superior lines in all of those different crops that we evaluated. And another take-home was that generally the modern lines were a little bit higher yielding than the heritage lines. This is just a example of the some of the variety test results of some selected entries. Those top three are kind of modern lines that are used for or could be used for organic production. And the bottom two were some heritage lines that were lower yielding but have some market demand. So that's one of the dilemmas that we face, is that even though they're lower yielding, there's demand for some of the lower ones, and they can be useful. I also participated in several management trials. There was a separate poster on these earlier today, looking at nitrogen sources. We had the same issues you had in Washington, and seeding rates by variety we did as well, and also emmer seeding rates. In this particular one, we found a good response to pelletized poultry manure rates in at our Pennsylvania sites. Our collaborators in New York had been using a legume rotation, and their response to the poultry manure was much more limited. So we supported kind of what we expected. Another thing I was able to pull off was a nice little field day that allowed us to showcase our work at the farm. We discussed some of those management trials, networked with the some of the key growers, and then we built relationships for future work in the area. In the second year, I realized it's hard to get our busy growers out to see our location, so what Elizabeth and I tried was to do some a virtual field day. So we actually produced two project videos of the two of us describing some of the things that we might have showed growers on heritage wheat varieties and management in one video, and the second one was in spelt and emmer management. And if you're interested, I can direct you to the website where those are located. A big part of our project was outreach and farmer engagement. I did a limited amount of on-farm research. Elizabeth did most of it, but we did work with growers on management recommendations and also specialized equipment evaluation and development. So we have one cooperator who has basically a spelt and wheat mill I worked with early on, and I took some of those varieties that I was interested in, including one from North Carolina, Appalachian White, and tested them on his farm. And interestingly, these guys found a niche for Appalachian White, and they've incorporated in their production, and they've ramped it up this year, which is always kind of cool. Another farm out near Pittsburgh was interested in working with us in several different things. He found an einkorn line, which we tested, and he's been working to develop that. He grows Maxine hard red winter wheat, and I worked with him on developing some production recommendations there. And he's also into growing rye for a distillery in Pittsburgh. And with the way the Steelers are playing this year, there's probably going to be an increased demand for that rye whiskey. So Elizabeth worked on several with several growers. Henry Beiler is one in central Pennsylvania. And one of the issues we have with those spring einkorn and emmers is that they're low yielding. If we could have winter and they have a weed issue. So these folks were able to find some winter einkorns, and over the time they were able to increase and evaluate selected varieties, and in 2016 they harvested 15 acres of winter einkorn seed that they milled and even distributed some to other growers. Another cooperator is Tina Bailey. She's down in the Allentown area, eastern Pennsylvania. Both Elizabeth and I work with her on different things. Elizabeth helped her on developing some specialized equipment for small-scale grain processing. In this case, we see an oat roller for rolling hullus oats. And then Tina had some wheat issues in her wheat, and they worked together to develop a gravity table to separate out and clean grain better. Another farm in central Pennsylvania that Elizabeth worked with was Kit Kelly, and here she introduced some French heritage wheat varieties, and eventually they produced enough seed of all these to plant with a drill and made some excess seed available to growers. And part of the testing I helped out with in supporting that with Elizabeth and Kit. And then a couple Amish farmers, Lamar and Henry Stauffer, down in New Holland. One of the challenges in trying to grow these hulled grains is de-hulling, and getting de-hulling machinery can be expensive. And she worked with these folks to come up with some small but efficient de-hulling machines. And two models were developed, one with an electric motor and one without. And they ended up getting fairly good de-hulling on both two different varieties of spelt. They're continuing to work on the design and evaluation. The cost compared to a commercial manufactured de-huller, which is about $10,000, the cost of equipment was about $1,300 or $1,400. So they look like they're cost-effective designs for these folks that want to get into growing ancient grains. So that was kind of cool as well. We also got involved in a little outreach and market development. Our colleagues at Cornell worked a lot in New York City and did some cool things. And in 2016, in the winter, we were able to work at the Philly Farm Fest, which is a way for growers to create awareness for their products in Philadelphia. So Elizabeth and I organized a grain station at the Philly Farm Fest, and she mostly did it. She had tasting evaluations, new recipes, and provided an opportunity for several of these growers to participate and showcase some of their products. And as part of the project, she conducted some public tastings of the bread. breads and other products, raw cooked grains that she had prepared, and collected a little bit of data on it as well, and looked at different consumer preferences. So, in summary, even though we weren't the main part of the project, I think mostly between the two of us, we sort of developed a community of engaged growers, and we provided a little science to support their management decisions, and we were able to develop some genetic and machinery resources, and then we've helped to provide some leadership for market development in the future. So I've done a lot of the traditional types of research and projects. This one was one that had a little bit more expanded research and outreach, which was kind of cool, and I thought I might share that with you today. So with that, Chris, I'll turn it back over to you. Any questions?
Did you guys connect at all with Vermont and Maine? I know they've been doing a lot on Asian grains.
Yeah, we had some connections.
There's a project increasing seed supply that intersected with this project as well.
So developing some of my management recommendations, I looked at what Heather Darby in Vermont had done, and the approach with 70 pounds of N as a winter top dress was kind of exactly what Heather had come up with, and maybe you were involved in that as well. Maybe it was your paper, I don't know. But so we had connected. They weren't part of this project, but we have worked together. So
I have a question about the videos that you made. Did they mostly go to the people that you were working with, or was the viewership beyond your mid-Atlantic, northeastern range, where did you get a lot of outside interest?
These videos we just completed actually at the end of the project, because the videos were done at 2015 field day. It actually took about 6 or 8 months to get them completed, so they weren't done till last winter, and we haven't actually advertised them that well. We did participate in a couple of the national e-organic webinars, and I think we had a couple in there that got pretty wide interaction with